afternoon, I'm going to present this work. It's actually one of the many trials of soil fertility group from Oklahoma State University. And I'd like to acknowledge their presence, and they're sitting on this side of the room, and they're ready to take your question later once I'm done with my presentation. Okay. It's kind of a lot of number of student work on it, so I won't be able to mention all of their names, but I'm really thankful they're so helpful in the completion of this project. So this is kind of a familiar diagram to you, but what it conveys is that nitrogen is a very dynamic element, and it is the reason why we spend more time to understand nitrogen than any other nutrients. It's unpredictable and the most limiting nutrient of all the crops, but it is also considered as one of the inputs that when managed properly will be going to get a significant amount of return, economically speaking and agronomically speaking. So these are the ways where we can, the venues where nitrogen can be lost to the environment. So actually there have been so many work on determining the best management practice from which we will be able to increase the use of nitrogen fertilizer towards the improvement or to maximize our yield and net return. We've worked so much on the determining the right amount using other the yield goal analysis, yield-based nitrogen recommendation, and variable rate technology. We work on determining the right time, application timing, controlled release technologies, and inhibitors. And we also work on understanding the right place where we should place this where we should apply the nitrogen so we will be able to maximize its use. But still, there's a remaining question that can we further increase grain yield if we tailor the nitrogen needs to the variable growth of the individual plants? Especially in fields that the spatial variation is so large and it is further complicated by temporal variability. You know, the expression of spatial variability will be different from year to year, and we wanted to make sure that whatever we apply will be whatever amount of nitrogen that we will apply in the corn will be used efficiently. So we're thinking, how do we why did we come up with this plan? You know, why did we put up such study? Few years ago, we were able to determine that the nodal root system of the corn do not overlap if the planting distance is larger than 25 centimeter. And also, based from previous study, that we were able to quantify the plant-to-plant variability using 46 transects in Argentina, Mexico, and Oklahoma, to name a few. And this corn grain variability actually reaches to an amount of 2,785 kilograms per hectare. And with the advent of technology, yield-based nitrogen recommendation can be possible using an in-season prediction of yield potential of each corn plant on a by-plant level, excuse me. So I'm just trying to say that this study had proven that we will be able to predict the yield potential of individual corn. And just take a note that this is this bike is one of a kind in the world. Attached to it is a sensor with a sharp encoder where you will be able to determine the individual NDVI reading at the specific distances. And we had the directed stream applicator that when we applied a certain level of sophistication, we will be able to apply, we will be able to sense and fertilize on the go. So we try to alter the nitrogen distribution to the plant to determine the application resolution at which end competition influences corn grain yield, and also to determine the application resolution at which corn grain yields are maximized. We have this treatment, 14 treatments arranged in CRD. Just a note that treatment 3 and treatment 10 was incorporated on the second year of the study. We have two plant spacing at 18 and 28 centimeters. And at each plant spacing, we have these different distribution scenarios. To illustrate this further, the distribution scenarios that we use, we have this 15 plants, wherein the X's represent the plant, and the green one means, I hope you can see the green one. The green one represents that it received nitrogen fertilizer in the form of UAN. So let's say, for example, we have a 122 kilogram citrus application rate that we have to do mid-season, during mid-season fertilization. And it is equivalent to 54 milliliters of UAN. So when you apply at the biplan, you have to we divided this 54 milliliters by 15 and apply it individually on this corn plant. And if it's every other two, so we will apply larger. Let's say 54 milliliters for biplan, we will apply 3.5 milliliters, and for every two plants, we will apply 7. And for every three plants, those with the green color axis, they will receive 11. And the middle row will receive the full 54 milliliters UAN. And when we are to distribute, all of the plants will receive, except that we will try our best to distribute it equally to the entire row. So it was conducted in 2005 and 2006. The 2007 data, the two sites received unusually high rainfall, and that resulted into complete crop failure. The two sites were flooded, and we weren't able to recover the two trials for this year. So it was conducted at IFO and Lake Carr Blackwell, which is near Stillwater, Oklahoma. IFO represent a dry land condition, while LCB or Lake Carr Blackwell represent irrigated system. We arranged the treatment on a CRD design, a completely randomized design with three replications. So we made sure that the distances and the depth of the seedlings are consistent. So we used this steel bar where we screwed, we had these screws that has 2 inches deep, so when we push through the against the ground, we will be able to determine where to put the seeds and at least maintain the consistency in the depth of the seeds. And these are the pictures of how we did the side dress application. This middle row application received 54 milliliters of UAN, that we have to be very careful of not putting it, you know, and at the speed that it will actually move laterally on the ground. So we want to make sure that it will be absorbed through the soil. And this is the biplant application, and we had this distribution of the UAN in the entire row. So at harvest, we pick each ear, dried, and actually weigh them, and then mechanically shelled. We determine the grain weight, of individual ear and calculate the weight of each ear on a gram per plant basis and translate it into kilogram or megagram per hectare basis. And also we determine the weight of each plot, the whole plot, not the individual plant. So this is just one of the results that I'm going to show you about the 2005 check plots. So we have 2006, but this is just for the purpose of showing that we did get plant-to-plant variability on our trial. So the graph is actually this, the y-axis is representing the grain yield on a gram per plant basis for the site EFO and LCB at the distance, at the planting distance of 18 centimeter, and on the other side, 28 centimeter. So it might be hard for you to see what I have here is showing the minimum and maximum and mean and standard value of the grain yields on a gram per plant basis and on the megagram per hectare basis. So just for you to have an idea, we have a standard deviation that range from 500 kilograms to 2,000 kilograms per hectare. These are actually the 9 plants that we harvested, which I forgot to mention a while ago, that we have these 15 plants and we harvested the 9 middle row plants, the 9 plants in the middle of the row. Well, the highlights of this presentation is that at 18 centimeter plant distance, distribution scenario had no effect on grain yield. We do have a significant effect of distribution scenario at the 28 centimeter plant spacing, showing that when we apply at every 2 plants and 3 plants, we will be able to maximize yield. In 2006, however, we weren't able to observe the same trend. The distribution scenario has no effect at all for both planting distances. The crop, though, experienced severe dry and hot condition, and if you notice those standard deviation, it's so hot. It's so high, actually, that replication itself, we had a lot of variability. But one thing is noticeable, that at 28 plant centimeter plant distance, you can see that if we apply of the fertilizer every 2 plants and every 3 plants, the grain yield tended to be more higher. But this is not... for 2006 data, this is not very we cannot conclude of this because of the situation or the environmental growth condition that the crop experienced during that time. So these are just the results that I might want to skip, but one thing that it tried to say is, like, there's no single operating resolution that consistently maximizes yield. It varies every year. We may apply it every 2 plants on this specific distance, and it might be at every 3 plants for this at 28 centimeter plant distances. And yeah, the same message, that we won't be able to use one single operating resolution to be able to maximize corn grain yield. So what are the take-home notes for today? Yeah, we have plant-to-plant variability in grain yield, and it is very high. And to be able to maximize the benefit of variable rate, application of nitrogen fertilizer should be operating at the optimum resolution. As I've said a while ago, there's no single operating resolution that can optimize the grain yield across plant distances, sites, and year. The optimum resolution may vary depending on the extent of variation in plant stand as influenced by plant density and the combined effect of temporal and field spatial variability. So we are to propose that the use of in-season determined optimum resolution has the potential to further increase the benefit of need-based fertilizer and application. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention.
Take one question. yield variability plant by plant, would that for a control plot or would that for a plot that we feed,
It's for the check plot. We did not, those plant-to-plant variability data that I've shown you are did not receive any nitrogen. So just to say that we had this variability and not nitrogen has no effect on that result that I presented.
Did you look at the plant-to-plant variability with a high-end plot?
Yeah, we do have the data. I apologize if not showing that. We still have the variability still exists. It's just that we try to express it in a, we try to evaluate or determine the optimum resolution by determining at which treatment we'll be able to get or you will be able to maximize the yield. So what we did is we try to determine the grain yield of each plot and then convert it on a per hectare basis, and whichever plot obtained the highest grain yield, then we have the assumption that this is the optimum resolution that we are to use to maximize that grain yield at that specific distance, at that specific site, and for that specific season.
Brenda Young, assistant professor at Louisiana State, so she had to drive the shortest distance, but we'll thank you.
Thank you.